We're going to be in Psalm 42 today. This is a different psalm. I've told you before, I love the psalms, and I love this psalm. I love the honest emotions of the psalms, okay? I would say to you, there's a psalm for every season of life, okay? No matter where you find yourself, what has happened, if things are good, if things aren't good, there's a psalm for you. And look, it's good to come to the psalms, and in the psalms we find out and remember something we already knew, that everything isn't always awesome, okay? Everything isn't always awesome. You're going to have seasons of life where things aren't always just a tent, and that's okay. It's good, and it would be spiritually... We'd be being fake or hypocrites to act like there aren't seasons of life that aren't difficult. And as we sang, blessed be your name when I walk through the wilderness, right? Even when things are good, even when things are bad, we want to be the kind of people that can rest in that, be honest about that, and then to move forward in our hope in God. And that's what this psalm is about, okay? I'm going to read it. If you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this. It's not a very long sermon, okay? But I think it'll be an encouraging one. It says, as the deer pants for waters, right? So my soul longeth after thee, if you grew up singing that. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Hear this. My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, where's your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throngs and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise and multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why is there turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I again shall praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Okay, I think this is a great psalm for those of us who struggle, okay? So if you've ever struggled, or if you are struggling, if you haven't, you will struggle, okay? And he goes through some emotions here that I think, I love it, okay? I love the honesty of the psalmist. I love that we can be honest in our songs, in our prayers. We can be honest like this psalmist was honest about feeling down. And feeling, really, this is spiritual depression, okay? Is what I called it here. There's five, really, in the psalm, five causes of spiritual depression that I think we see here, and then he gives us the antidote for it as we move forward. Okay, how do we fight that spiritual depression? And if you've never experienced any kind of spiritual depression, good for you, okay? I have, okay? I do. I've told you this. I try to be as honest with you as possible about my own walk with Jesus, because there are days that are great and there are days that aren't great. There's days that I'm here, and there's other days where if you knew what was going on in my heart, I don't know that you'd come to this church, okay? Because I ride the roller coaster of spiritual depression or whatever as any of you do, okay? And I think it's good that we can say that, and it's good that we can come to the Psalms and see when the psalmist dealt with this. How did they deal with it? How did they move forward with this? That can be a roadmap for us when we walk through that. Five things, though, I think he talks about that can be causes of spiritual depression. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list. This is the five things that he deals with here. The first thing he talks about is absence from the worship of God. He says in verses 1 and 2, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. He talks about longing for going up in verse 4. I long to go, be with the throng, and lead them in procession to the house of God. He's in exile here, the psalmist is, and he's remembering and longing for the worship of God with God's people. Okay, he's longing to be back at the temple with God's people, worshiping God. And now that he's absent from that, he's experiencing spiritual depression, right? He's longing to appear before God and experience his presence or his faith. He has painful memories of past joyful worship, and that intensifies the hurt. He's longing to be with God's people to worship God. And look, I know we live in this individualistic society where I don't need anything, or I can worship online, or, you know, me and my team did a devotion in the hotel room before our tournament, whatever. When you aren't actively involved in the worship of God with God's people, it affects you spiritually. It affects me spiritually. When I was last Sunday, we're landing in DFW when you were worshiping. I was wishing I could be here with you. We need each other. The psalmist is saying that there's the absence of the worship of God in our hearts, in our lives, with God's people is a cause of spiritual depression. Okay? And so if you are not making that an active part of your life, which I know you are because you're here the Sunday after July 4th, but need to keep doing that. We need that. We need that. I remember Josh said this when Josh took a sabbatical a few years ago, and when he got back, he said, "Man, if I couldn't worship with God's people on a regular basis, I don't know that I'd still be a Christian. I need it. I need to be with God's people to worship." It is not having that in our life is a cause of spiritual depression. It's what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 10. He says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some." We do not need to make that our habit. We're going to miss church sometimes. We're not talking about perfect attendance or getting a gold star or anything like that. But having a prolonged season of our life where we're not actively gathering with God's people for worship is not good for our souls. We should encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So first cause, absence of worship of God. Number two, second cause of spiritual depression. And we need to be honest about this, okay? It is the taunts of unbelievers. He says in verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night. And when they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Verse 10, "And as a deadly wounds in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. And when they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" This constant mockery of God's people can be a cause of spiritual depression. You have to be careful with that. He says these taunts, they wound like a deadly blow in my bones. We want to be a kind of people that understand that, right? That you're going to be around people that don't believe in Jesus. You're going to interact with people that don't believe in Jesus. But you also need to be careful with that. You need to be the kind of person that is careful that you don't allow the taunts of unbelievers to settle into your bones in such a way that it causes you to question God's love for you, or question who he is, or any of that kind of stuff. We want to be careful that we don't allow the taunts of unbelievers, because they can, okay? They can cause spiritual depression in your heart and in your life. And this is one of the dangers, I would say, even of, you know, I get on social media all the time. This is a danger of social media, though, right? Like you interacting with people that aren't believers, that you don't even really know, that can cause you to doubt things that aren't true. And you need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of that. Psalm 22, he says this, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." These taunts of unbelievers can be a cause of spiritual depression. 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." These causes that the psalmist is dealing with of this downcast soul, right? Absence of the worship of God. Number two, the taunts of unbelievers. Number three, this is, I think, maybe for older believers, more so than younger believers, but it's a good thing to see, is that he's remembering better days. He's remembering when times were better than they are right now. Looking back and going, "Man, remember the good old days. Remember those days. I remember when things were better." Verse 4, he says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession of the house of the Lord in glad shouts of praise." Right? He's in exile. He's alone. And he's remembering being with the people of God, enjoying the things that God was doing. He's remembering when times were better, when days were simpler, when things weren't so clouded, when the hurt of life had not stung so bad, right? And then if we aren't careful, that can cause spiritual depression. It ought to be something that if we're in a good place, we remembering the Lord's faithfulness is a good thing, right? But when we're not in a good place, that can cause us to be depressed and cause a kind of spiritual depression to come upon us. We got to be careful with that. Remembering better days can be a way that causes spiritual depression. Lamentations 3 says this. The lamenter says, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Philippians 3 says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's antidote to those remembering those past days which were good. Is he goes, look, yes, but then set your eyes forward. Like, don't always be living in the past. Look forward to what God has for you in the present. Number four, fourth cause of spiritual depression from Psalm 42 is this. It is the trials of life that can be overwhelming. Some of y'all have had those. Some of y'all are in those right now. I know that. There are things in life that are just overwhelming. There are days that are, you don't know how you're going to get up the next day. Look, I've walked through those myself. I've walked with many of you through those. It's okay that that's how you feel. I mean, I think about difficult days, difficult phone calls, things in life that feel like you just got punched in the throat. And that can be a cause of spiritual depression, and that's okay, right? It's okay that that happens. Look at verse 7. This is not a coffee mug verse here. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Like, that's not a life verse for anybody. The psalmist is like, I'm stuck in the waves and I can't get out. I'm caught in the undertow and the waves of God keep crashing over me. It's a feeling of being overwhelmed, right? The trials of life at times can be overwhelming. Deep calls to deep at the roar of the waterfalls. God's breakers and waves crashing over your soul. And there have been times in life where the chaos of life can feel like you're drowning. And if you're there, that's okay. Be honest about that. That's what the psalmist is honest about it, right? Psalm 69 says this, save me, O God, for the waters have come upon my neck. I seek in deep mire where there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I'm weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. I love the honesty of that. I think sometimes, okay, this is free for you. Sometimes we think, if I'm feeling like that, then I must not be being faithful to God. Because if I'm being faithful to God and I'm doing all God wants me to do, there's no reason why I should have these kind of feelings. That's just not true. That's not true at all. Life can be overwhelming. It's good to feel that way. It's good. When we feel the ways of God crashing over us, it helps us to be less self-reliant and more reliant on him. And many times, I'm telling you, I believe this wholeheartedly. Many times God will do that, and when he does it, it's a grace for us. Because he's allowing us to loosen our grip on the things of this world and to trust him more and more and more. It is through the trials of life that he does that. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Like when the feeling of life being overwhelming is a reminder that you and I are breakable pots. We want to act like we're made of steel. And the psalmist says, Paul says here, that we have this treasure of the gospel we have it. It's our treasure that God has given to us. It is he doesn't ever take it away. It is not going to fade. He's keeping it for us with him in heaven. He sealed us with the promised Holy Spirit until we obtain possession of it. Yes, 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 yes. And he says, this treasure that we have, it's in a jar of clay. In a very breakable container. And why is that? To show that this all-surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Like one of the reasons that God has given us this great salvation in a jar of clay is to remind you and remind me that the only good thing about me is Jesus, right? Like that he's the one doing these things. I can trust him. I can rest in him. So he goes on and says, so we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in us. I've told you this before, okay? It was really when going through a season in my own life of questioning God and questioning some of the things God was doing that the second phrase in verse 8 was encouraging to me. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. And here's what I'll tell you about that. You're free to ask God why. You're free to do that. You can ask God, what are you doing here? Why is this happening? I'm perplexed, God. Well, I trust you. I just don't understand you. I'm perplexed by this. But because of Jesus, I'm not driven to despair in this. Right? Well, we can be a kind of people when the trials of life seem overwhelming, can be perplexed by what God is doing, but not driven to despair. And then number five here, a cause of spiritual depression. When God doesn't act as quickly as we think he should. I don't know if any of you are like me, but I think God should act on my timetable, which is now, okay? That's when I want God to do what I want him to do, how I want him to do it, just like this, right? And I'm like, God, I know you're tired. I know you got a lot going on. I know you're busy with all of the world. So I've got my plan. If you'll just follow it, we'll be good to go, right? God doesn't work like that, though. Look at verse 9. Notice the psalmist says, I say to God, my rock. He's not questioning God's power here. He's not questioning who he is. But he is questioning what he's doing. I said to God, my rock, why have you forgotten about me? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? This is the psalmist going, what are you doing? Right, well, let's go. Sometimes God doesn't act the way we think he should or in the time that we think he should. And that's because he's not us. Right? He's not us. The psalmist says in Psalm 13, one of my favorite psalms, he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget about me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long, O Lord? Sometimes God doesn't act as quickly as we think he should. We need to remember what we learned in 2 Peter chapter 3. This, don't overlook this fact, beloved. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. Meaning this, God is outside of time. Like God, he's not wearing a watch. Okay? He's outside of time. He is not affected by time. And when he acts, it is perfect. He's always on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. So when he doesn't act when we think he should, we can just need to trust that he has a better time than we do. And we can know this, that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards us, not willing that anyone should perish. But that all would come to repentance. Now, if this is you, okay, if you've dealt with any of these emotions, any of these things that lead to kind of spiritual depression, you're in safe company with friends, not just with me or Tyler or the people in this room. You're safe because you're with the psalmist, okay? When we walk with Jesus, as we walk with him, we are going to experience different seasons and different emotions. When you deal with spiritual depression, if you deal with spiritual depression, when you deal with it, what do we do here? How do we respond to it? How should I respond to it? How should you respond to this spiritual depression? How should we fight against it in our hearts? I think we need to learn to do what the psalmist does here, okay? The first thing we have to do is we have to wrestle through it. We have to wrestle through spiritual depression. When my kids were babies, we used to read this little book with them called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Anybody remember that book? What a beautiful, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. And then they would come across this deal. Something's going on. And every time they come across an obstacle, they would say the same thing. They would say, we can't go around it. We can't go over it. We got to go through it. And like I would tell you that about spiritual depression in your life. When you go through seasons of heartache, seasons of trial, seasons of uncertainty, seasons of questioning God. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You got to go through it. But go through it. Like the psalmist's call here is to go through it, right? To wrestle through it. To ask the hard questions of your own soul. That's what the psalmist says. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. Yet, he's in turmoil, right? His soul is downcast. He asks the hard questions. And again, these are the bottom two. This is from your buddy Jeremy, okay? You don't have to church it up when you come to God, right? He knows how you feel. You're not, every hair on your head is numbered. You don't think he knows the raw emotions of your soul? You don't have to speak in King James English when you come to him. You can be raw with your emotions. You can be raw with your feelings, with your unbelief, with your hurt. It's okay. It's how he wants us to come to him, honestly. But when you come to him, and the thing I would tell you, this is for me, don't suffer in silence. Like don't hide it. Don't just pack it in. Be honest with the Lord. Be honest with the brother or sister that loves you, that you can share with, okay? But wrestle, whatever you're going through, go through it. Wrestle through it, right? The second thing is, as you do that, do what you need to do, right? Do what needs to be done. Don't be slow in doing the things that you know to do. Remember what he does here. He remembers God's character and God's faithfulness. He rests in God's steadfast love, and he keeps on praying even when he doesn't feel like keeping on praying. Like even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes we always want some kind of an experience, right? Like I want to feel the goosebumps. I want to feel like I'm at church camp all the time. And you know what? In real life isn't church camp. Sometimes your prayers are going to feel like they're not getting out of the room. Sometimes worship is going to feel empty. Sometimes you're going to be like, I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my, I don't want to do that. I get it. Keep doing it. All right, that's where self-discipline comes in. That's where learning to keep doing the things that God has promised to use, he's promised to work through. I was talking to a guy this week about this. Just like, hey man, keep doing those things. Keep doing them because God is going to use them. When you read his word, he uses it. Okay? When you memorize scripture, he uses it. When you worship, he uses it. When you pray, he uses it. He uses all these things to draw us in, to help us to trust him more. He uses it. So even when you don't feel like it, do what needs to be done. Keep going, right? Keep doing. And number three, do what the psalmist does here. Remember the great hope that we have in God. What does he say to his soul every time? Why are you downcast on my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Why are you doing that when the antidote for that is put your hope in God? Don't forget who God is. Don't forget that he's your rock, as he says here. He's your salvation. Command your soul, right, to hope in God. You will get through whatever it is. I promise you will. You will get through it. Do what he says. I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. Look up to the face of God. That's where our salvation is found. Three takeaways and we're done. I think there's only two on your paper, but I got three for you. Got you an extra one, all right? First one is this. Spiritual depression is common even for godly people. I hope you put a star by this one. Okay? Because we live in a world where we're seeking this, that, and the other. And praise God for that. And if you walk with Jesus long enough, you're going to go through spiritual depression. Because life is going to punch you in the face at some point. Things are not going to go the way you thought they were going to go. Your poster board's not going to come to pass in some ways. Things that you were not expecting are going to happen. And things that you were expecting aren't going to happen. And you're going to feel the grip of your life being loosened. And you're going to experience some spiritual depression. Even godly people experience that. So when you do, don't think that means you're not a godly person or you're not following Jesus. No, It's not true. Even godly people, spiritual depression is common for everyone, right? And so since that's true, we can honestly bring whatever's going on to God. Like, I don't have to hide from him. He welcomes me. He promises me that when I come to him, every time I come to him, I'm going to receive grace and mercy to help in my time of need. So when I'm spiritually depressed, I need to run to him, right? I run to him, not from him. I can be honest about my emotions. I can say the things the psalmist says. God, how long are you going to forget about me? Forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? Forever? I can be honest about my emotions, but I can bring them to him, directly to him. I don't have to go. There's not an intermediary. I get to go directly to him because of Jesus, right? We know that spiritual depression is common even for godly people. We can bring it honestly to God. And then three, remember that Jesus is our only hope. It's on the screen, not on your paper though, all right? Remember that Jesus is our only hope. And when we come to him, we just remember those things. We need to remind ourselves of the gospel. That's why I titled this, Preaching the Gospel to a Downcast Soul. My soul. Your soul. Remember that godly people experience depression, spiritual depressions. We can bring whatever it is to him because we know that when we come to him, he's our only hope, right? And we can rest in him. And look, I would encourage you, if you're struggling today, man, let's talk about it. Let us pray for you. Let us surround you with, let me get you with an older godly couple that also walks with a limp. Because they've been through it, right? Like, let's help each other follow Jesus when our souls are downcast. We're not going to be downcast forever, but they're going to be downcast at times. And when they are, we can be honest about these things, and we can run to God, not away from him, because he loves us, and he's for us, and he's showing us that in his son, Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, I really thank you for the Psalms. I'm thankful that like we don't have to act like we have it all together. We don't have to act like everything's always awesome. And we can trust you. Even when the waves are crashing over our heads, we can trust you because you love us and you are for us and you are with us. And you invite us to yourself. So God, help us to believe that. Help us to rest in that. Help us to run to you. Or in those moments, in those days, help us to know that you are with us and you are working for us. And Lord, I do. I pray you'd help us to believe that. I pray you'd help us to walk in that and help us to help each other as we do it together. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.